the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill has finished for the moment with the freelance soldiering. Cuba, India, Africa. These are now colorful memories. Memories he has recorded in his books. Back in England, a vital young man, he turns his attention to politics with a desire to step into his father's shoes. For Lord Randolph Churchill in his day was a great English statesman, and his son finds that same urge to lead the people of Britain in their historic progress from the 19th to the 20th century. Here and there, he is beginning to speak to the public. Pre-election speeches which already foreshadow the great oratory which one day is to make him so famous.
We are living in dangerous times, but exciting times. We all know our relations with France today are seriously strained. A French force under Commandant Marchand has reached Fashoda on the White Nile and hoisted the French flag there. The French press is defiant, so are we. This power, with whom England has long lived on terms of friendship, has deliberately crossed our path and brought upon us what can be regarded as no less than a personal affront. It is fortunate that our government is strong. It is fortunate that those who compose it are possessed of the confidence of the country. For in the course of a few days, even a few hours, we may be called upon to make a great effort to hold what really belongs to us. War clouds are hovering over us, but I think it probable, we all hope it is probable, that these clouds may pass away.
And while young Winston Churchill is making such speeches and stirring English people into a new pride of country and a new strength of purpose, other men are beginning to take notice of this brilliant young man. In the office of the Daily Mail...
Stevens, I'm thinking of running a series of articles on prominent young men of our time.
Quite an idea, sir, with the old century ending and the new one about to begin.
I think you're the man for the job. You're a war correspondent. You ought to be able to turn out something interesting. Who would be a good one to start with?
What about Winston Churchill?
Ah, always Churchill. That name has always been with us. Why Churchill?
Because... Well, he's the youngest man in Europe.
That's good. That's very good. The youngest man in Europe.
I admire him. Any other than he, a junior subaltern, would be a boisterous, simple, full-hearted, empty-headed boy. But Churchill is a man with ambitions, with the steps towards their attainment firmly fixed in his mind. He'll get somewhere.
I think Churchill's a bold demagogue and he knows it.
Quite. In my opinion, there'll hardly be room for him in Parliament at 30, or in England at 40. His grasp, his vision, are so all-embracing. He's unpredictable.
Well, then, have a shot at it, Stevens. At least the article will cause considerable comment. That's what we want. People to talk about the young men of today. Now, after Churchill, you'd better make out a list of the other young men who ought to be covered.
Good afternoon. You're a reporter, aren't you?
Yes, Morning Post.
I suppose you're here to report the meeting?
That's right. Young Churchill's making his maiden speech. Oh, I don't expect much from him. They've picked Bath to try him out. He'll probably go rush out, you know.
I expect you're right.
I can imagine what he'll say. Union Jack forever, that sort of stuff.
Yes, but what people don't seem to realize is that it's not the piece of bunting that's important, but what it stands for. What we've got to do is make the Union Jack represent all that's good and noble.
I say, that's rather good. You ought to be making this speech instead of this Churchill fellow.
Very good of you to say so. Hello. What's going on now?
The old chairman's going to introduce the speaker. I wonder which one he is.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege and pleasure to introduce to you a young man whose father, Lord Randolph Churchill, was one of the greatest leaders the Conservative Party has ever had.
Pity they didn't realize that when he was alive. Why?
His son, today's speaker, has already had a highly distinguished military career in Cuba, on the Indian frontier, and more recently in the Sudan. His bravery with the sword is only equaled by his brilliance with the pen.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Winston Churchill.
Lady Whisperlock, eh? You? You're Churchill? My hat.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I have never been a reactionary. I believe in progress, but I also believe most sincerely that England will gain far more from the rising tide of Tory democracy than from the dried up drainpipe of radicalism.
Oh, good. That's the stuff.
I might easily adopt as my slogan such a phrase as the Union Jack forever. But I believe that what is far more important than the piece of bunting is what that piece of bunting stands for.
That's good copy. New figure on political scene. Powerful eloquence. Picturesque oratory. Winston Spencer Churchill. Probably be popping into print pretty often if I'm any judge. The audience likes him, that's it.
Something very sad and most unfortunate has happened, Mr. Churchill. It's going to make things very difficult.
What is it, Mr. Middleton?
Well, as you know, we'd arranged for you to contest the two-member constituency of Oldham with Mr. Robert Ascroft, who's represented the seat for many years.
Yes, I've already had several conversations with Mr. Ascroft, and he's been very kind.
Yes, quite, but unfortunately, last night Mr. Ascroft died suddenly.
Mr. Ascroft dead?
It's come as a great shock to us all, but it makes your position extremely difficult. Now, instead of contesting the seat under the guidance and influence of an old and trusted member, you will have as your fellow candidate a man no better known politically than yourself.
Poor Ascroft. How ghastly.
Yes, yes, but your own situation is what immediately concerns us, Mr. Churchill. Your colleague in the fight is Mr. James Maudsley, a socialist and the secretary of the Operative Spinners Association. He's standing as a representative of Tory democracy.
Well, that's splendid.
Yes, but it may cause trouble. The radicals will probably accuse Maudsley of betraying the working class, and you may also get a hostile reception.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Well, we'll hope for the best. But it's a great pity about poor Ascroft. If he were here, your election would have been beyond doubt. As it is, well, the result is doubtful, to say the least.
Who's opposing us?
The senior Liberal candidate is a Mr. Emmett, whose family is very well known in Oldham. And the junior is Mr. Walter Runciman, young, wealthy, and a candidate of exceptional merit.
Then you think I'll be defeated?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. No, no, but I wish that circumstances had been different. Still, you never know.
I'll do my best, Mr. Middleton. And if I go down, well, there's always another day. I'm not at all confident of the final result, Mother. I wonder how many times I'll be present at the declaration of a poll waiting to know my fate. I wonder how many people voted against me who, if they'd been wiser, would have voted for me.
I'm glad you're cheerful about it, Winston.
I think Emmett and Runciman have the battle won.
Look, they're going to declare.
Attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. The final figures, Mr. Emmett, 12,000. 976. Mr. Runciman, 12,744. Mr. Churchill, 11,477. Mr. Maudsley, 11,449. I declare Mr. Emmett and Mr. Runciman elected to represent Oldham in the House of Commons.
Hello, Runciman. Congratulations.
Now, Churchill, bad luck for the Conservatives, eh?
Yes, the Liberals won the day.
No, not by much, though. Oh, well, better luck next time, no less. Although I don't expect you ever to unseat me, what?
I don't think the world has heard the last of either of us.
Well, I'd better start composing a nice little speech of felicitation. We've got to be good losers, eh, Mother?
You look so far from worried, Winston, that I wonder whether you really wanted to win.
Of course I wanted to win. But there's plenty of time. Plenty of time. You can take my word for it, Runciman. And you, Mother. The town of Oldham is going to fall a victim to Winston Churchill at the very next opportunity. I stake my reputation upon that forecast. I lost the election, but I'm only 25. I'm just beginning my life. 4 military campaigns I've fought through safely. Well, no political fight is going to stop me.
Defeated in his first attempt to enter the House of Commons, Winston Churchill is far from undaunted. It is his purpose to spend the next few years wooing the electors of Oldham. But history is in the making. The world is swiftly changing. Hundreds of miles away in South Africa, the dark fall of battle shows over the horizon. The thunder of guns begins to echo in the morrow. And Winston Churchill stands once again on the threshold of another chapter in his life of adventure.